Hello! Welcome to the weekly devotional reading from Practical Christianity Foundation. You may subscribe at our website, pcfbooks.com, to receive the weekly devotional reading at your inbox every Sunday morning. Here is this week's devotional reading.
This week's devotional reading is from Peter's first letter, chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. First Peter 2, 6 through 12. This is the word of God. May the Spirit of truth give us wisdom and insight to receive what has been conveyed through His word by His inspiration. Verses 6, 7, and 8. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. And they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. Peter continued his exhortation with a crucial contrast, sharply distinguishing between two types of people. These are people who responded to Jesus differently, those who believe in him for their salvation, and those who would not and remained lost in condemnation. Peter's assertion confirms Isaiah's prophecy about the rock in Zion, and Simeon's affirmation about baby Jesus, in whom the thoughts of many shall be revealed, and in whom many shall rise or fall. God laid the rock in Zion. That is, God laid the foundation for redemption in Jerusalem, where Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for the salvation of the lost. That rock is then Jesus Christ. The redeemed are saved because they believed in Jesus Christ. They accepted the rock. For them, the rock is priceless. He is precious. The rock is the cornerstone. He is the head. But for those who remained lost, the rock is a stone rejected by the builders. It is a stumbling block, something in the way. It is too large, something offensive. So they persist in disobedience and stand against God's word. They trip over the rock because they are disobedient to God's word. They stand destined to their inevitable destruction. So Peter affirms that the conflict between believers and the ungodly world is a battle between those who are secure in the rock and those who trip over the rock. Therefore, the hostile attitude of the ungodly world toward Christians is attributable to the unbeliever's belligerent contempt toward the rock, even Jesus Christ. The redeemed should not be surprised, therefore, by how they are treated by their persecutors. As Jesus confirmed in the Gospels, the persecutors do to the followers as they would to the Master, but those who are anchored in the rock will never be ashamed or disappointed. Verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Having assured them of the security they have in Christ, Peter proceeded to acquaint the suffering fellow believers with the sacred attributions ascribed to them as God's redeemed children. He reminded them of the surpassing significance of Christ's finished work on the cross and the exceeding sufficiency of the imputation of his righteousness to those whom he ransomed with his precious blood. Peter urged the suffering believers to view their hardships with a transformed perspective, always remembering that they are declared righteous in Jesus Christ and set free by Christ's finished work. The redeemed are not just snatched from the jaws of hell. We have been made God's children, co-heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as such, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are God's possession, redeemed by God, for God. We have been reclaimed out of the dark domains of condemnation into the heavenly bliss of God's marvelous light by our Creator. Therefore, we stand not as helpless victims, but as witnesses and beacons to the excellencies of God's grace and His mercy. The redeemed are an assembly of sinners saved by grace, with no merit of their own, not better or worse than any other sinner, just as wretched. Their redemption is a glowing testimony of God's redeeming grace. They are a chosen race because God's favor rested on them by God's sovereign determination. God Himself called sinners unto salvation according to His will. That is the mystery of sovereign grace. The redeemed are not only sinners saved by grace, but also priests of God's royal priesthood, because they are servants of God. They are appointed to proclaim the excellencies of God's redeeming grace and His mercy to the lost world. The redeemed spread the good news of the gospel, offer sacrifices of petition, praise, and worship, and confess God's lordship and His glory. They serve Him as witnesses and stand before Him as beacons, showing the way to the lost. And as such, the redeemed comprise a holy nation of saved people declared righteous in Christ, and an assembly of royal priests serving God under the charge of the chief royal priest, Jesus Christ, the head. Then Peter earnestly urged his audience to live not as the world, but as a people of God, as favored people of grace, as priests of the royal priesthood, as a holy nation of redeemed people, always realizing that there was a time when they were still lost in sin, when they did not experience God's redeeming mercy. So he exhorted them to live as strangers to this world, knowing that they were now different from the world, favored and forgiven. He appealed to them to have their godly conduct and their selfless service prove that Christ's righteousness in them firmly stands against the accusations of the world and the flesh, which relentlessly wars against their souls. The righteousness of Christ is so compelling that even the hostile world will ultimately acknowledge God and glorify His name. So let our conduct be above reproach, and let our sanctified will consciously resist the lust of the flesh by the power of the Spirit of truth and His living word. The sacred words inspired in Peter by the Spirit of Truth give us a glimpse of the riches of God's grace given to us in Jesus Christ. Even though no one is better or holier than the next person, the newness we have received in Christ as believers places us in the warmest chamber of God's loving and gracious heart. That is why we must believe and accept the new realities of our new life in the Lord. We are no longer the same. We are now what we were not before. We are God's children, made fit to be His through Christ's sacrifice. Christ is our righteousness, our holiness. These truths transcend our individual and collective comprehension. They are unsearchable. They are unfathomable. They are the mysteries of sovereign grace. The redeemed are chosen, royal, and God's possession, all because of God's will and His unsearchable sovereign grace. So we thank Him, we worship Him, we serve Him. And as Christ suffered for our sake, we partake in His suffering at the hands of those who hate Him. Christ considered that glorious because through His suffering, His Father's will was completely accomplished. So do we, if through the persecution we face, God is glorified and His will is accomplished and His purpose fulfilled. even as the children of the Most High God, we are all still weak and sinners in words, deeds, and thoughts. But as believers indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have the resources to overcome these sinful ways. The Holy Spirit, His living Word, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, His mercy, His providence. This continual outpouring of God's gift is mercy in its greatest sense. The Lord God bestows such mercies upon His children. So we respond with songs of praise and deep appreciation flowing out of a grateful soul. For God had purposed to reveal His glory and show His goodness by redeeming the lost upon the merits of His Son. Taking our cue from the psalmist, we sing praises to our Father. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the heavens with skill, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His loving kindness is everlasting, and has rescued us from our adversaries. For His loving kindness is everlasting. He rescued us from the dark domains of condemnation into His marvelous light.
Friend, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. In the light of His glory, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will in the light of His glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.